Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson and
Poetic Lace.
And we're going to give you something that you all been waiting for, our intro.
They get it.
We're going to go through our intro, and we're going to start our show the way we do it.
Expect the unexpected. Seeing before you know it, his covenant's not in vain. Once his promises start showing, so put your faith in motion. Praise him before you get it. Encouragement's on your radio, so come and listen in. It's Covenant Cafe. Come get some praise in your system with Lamont Ferguson. Poetic Laces in the building for the moms and pops and children. Ushers, pastors, musicians, listen and pay attention. Expect a change and a difference. I'm too focused to let any doubt get in my way. Ultimate faith in God, I'll believe whatever he says. So glorify his name, he's more than worthy to be praised. I'm loving this covenant, Covenant Cafe.
This is the Covenant Cafe, your host Lamont Ferguson and
Poetic Lace.
And we welcome you. We had a couple of weeks off due to some unfortunate circumstances. That lady called Sandy. Threw us off.
Yeah, she did that.
But needless to say that we're back in the house for shizzle. I miss you guys, man.
You know what? I've been waiting to say that this whole week. I really miss you guys. I really do. You keep me alert, keep me active. You're just so wonderful. Great people, man. I miss you too, Lamont. You know, even though I talked to you before the show, but I miss you too, bro.
Man, I miss you too, man. Hey, it's been a nice little vacation, but yo, man, Sundays I've been lazy, man. I've been really, you know, sleeping like an infant or something. I don't know. The body changes.
Yeah.
Before we get to what we do, we will start off. We start off is what the word.
So the word today, we're going to hop around just a tiny bit, but not really. It comes from 1 John 1, 3 through 5, and then 10 and 11. And it reads, 1 John 2, 3 through 5, and 10 and 11. And it reads, "Now this by we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him." And then we're going to skip down to 10. Well, it's actually going to 9. "He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in the darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes." Now, we let y'all go for so long that I know the Lord put in my spirit to come back hard at y'all this week, because we didn't let y'all was, I don't know what y'all been up to, but we know we're going to start it off by really hitting you by some hard message. The thing about it is, a lot of times as we walk in the faith, whether you be new in the faith or old in the faith, whether how long you've been a Christian, you've been saved and sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, delivered, we often say that we are Christians. But on a sad note is that a lot of people who are claiming this Christian walk, yet and still their actions don't show it. Now, the word is basically telling us straight up, we know that you love Jesus, that Jesus lives in you by you keeping his commandments. More also says, if you hate your brother, he who hates his brother is not in the light. So how can you say that you a Christian, you in the faith, that you love God, the Holy Spirit leads you and guides you, and you just so wonderful, all this and that in the faith, yet and still you have no love for your neighbors?
What?
Or how can you say you a Christian, but you still curse people out on the job? I'm just saying, how can you say that you are of the light, yet and still your actions are in the dark? So this is the thing that it comes down to a self-check. You really got to look at your behavior patterns. Look at who you are. Are you lining up with God's word? You know what I mean? God's told us straight up, you know, love me with all thy heart. You know, love me with your heart, all your soul. So how can you say that you God is in you and you are in a Christian faith and you should be this and that when your car comes before God? I'm just asking. So these are the things. It's a self-check kind of moment. The word shows us straight up that you are a liar, and the truth is not in you if you don't keep his commandments.
Mm-hmm.
You are not what you're saying you are. On top of that, how can you hate somebody? And the Bible says hate, as my pastor clearly stated, hate with E-S on the end is a continual thing. So it's not that you hated on somebody one day. You've been hating this long time, yet instead you're saying you're a brother of the faith or a sister of the faith. So this is another self-check thing, because you are not in the light. You are not on God's side like you say you are if you are hating people. I put me first. I love me, and everybody else can come last. Well, the Bible said love thy neighbor as you love thyself. So by loving your neighbor, you love yourself. But you don't love anybody. You put yourself before everybody. So that's a hate thing, because if you don't love, you hate. So you're not walking in the light with us. Self-check moment. You know, it's time that we keep it real, because God is coming back. Jesus is coming back, and since he's coming back, you know, the Bible lets us know what he's coming back for. He's coming back for the church, and in order to be a part of the church, and we're not talking about an organization. We're talking about the body of Christ. So to be a part of that, you must be walking in his commandments, because his main commandment was love. Even the Ten Commandments are all based off of love. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. If you love somebody, you will not kill or steal from them. So this is the thing, that it's a self-check moment. Are you walking in the Ten Commandments? Are you walking in with the commandments that Jesus had left for us? Are you following the works? If you're not, then you're lying to yourself. And it says that you're walking in the dark and you're just tripping over your own words. You're hitting stumbling blocks. You're going to keep hitting them. Self-check time. This is where we are. Self-check time.
Wow. Man. Okay.
You know, we had to come back hard.
Check time. Well, you know what? You're absolutely right, man. You have to believe in what you believe in. Just like you would stand for what you believe in on your job. Like, if your place of employment wants you to work on a date that you already called, you know, not called up, but put in a request, and they already approved, and all of a sudden they change the game. I'm like, no, we can't let you off.
Right.
I'm like, look, man, you already said that I can get off. You know, net moving and everything. I don't believe they're going to try. You need to do the same thing for God.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You got to do the same thing. I mean, you can't make, you know, you can't have double standards.
And that's so funny that you said that, because, you know, I mean, it's past tense. But yet and still, we got another lesson that's going to come up. So I know, if Lord willing, if I'm alive or the Lord has not came back yet, I'm going to say this again. This is what I know. This is real talk. On Facebook, Twitter, all this stuff. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to keep it 100% real now. Seen a black person say, you know, man, I'm voting for Romney. Comments all down. F you stupid, da-da-da-da-da, cursing out, going hard, going off because this man voted for Romney. Same day, another person said, man, I don't even see no reason to believe. Forget about Jesus and God. What y'all talking about, man? You can kick rocks with all that. I seen a couple likes and no comments until I say something. So my thing is, you telling me you can diss Jesus? A person can diss Jesus. It don't matter what his color is or nothing. A person can diss Jesus. Nobody have nothing to say.
Mm-hmm.
But if I say something about our president, you're going to get ready to beat me up. If I decide to vote for the other man because his skin tone is not black, you're going to beat me up because I'm black and I vote for the black man. But if I say something about Jesus, you ain't got nothing to say to me.
Let me elaborate on that. Okay. I was a strong push for people to vote. You know, like, yeah, man, everybody needs to vote. No matter who you need to vote for, you need to vote. But needless to say, there was a lot of black people who voted for Barack just because he was black.
And very true.
Not because of the issues.
Yeah.
You know, me personally, I didn't want Mitt in there because he had some very, very vague situations that he wanted to address, but he didn't want to say it until after he was president.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm like, okay, that didn't suit well for me at all.
Yeah, I understand that.
Barack had a lot of stuff that he wanted to fight for that, you know, healthcare is, like, big for me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just not just for me, for a lot of people. You know what I mean?
That's true.
And that's why I really want him in there because some of his issues that I was okay. You know, this needs to happen. But a lot of people were just in line because hey, this man black.
Sure.
I don't care what he talking about. He black. He in office.
Right. And the thing is, see, however you vote and how you did it, whatever, cool, because you sounded your voice, that's how you feel. You know, I'm not even tripping about that. My trip is, the problem is, and just erase color. Forget I even said the color. The problem is, you got something to say about the president I vote for, but you have nothing to say about the God I serve? Like, anybody can diss God, it's not a problem. But as soon as you say something like about the president or you just state an opinion, you know, I'm voting for such and such, and the majority disagrees with what you're voting with, everybody got something to say. But the majority who says they are saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, blah, 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 have nothing to say when an unbeliever rises up and gets other unbelievers to follow him. Or he don't even do that. He just rises up and say, you know what? F it. I don't want to believe in you. Did it up. And nobody have nothing to say to him. Nobody won't even say, you know, I'm going to pray for you. Nothing.
Nothing.
And that's my problem. It's just like you said, people, you can take up for everything else. You can go hard with the rules and regulations at the job. You can take up for your money, your wallet, your car. You can take up for all that stuff. But when it comes to the one who gave it to you, the one who's been saving you, who's been covering you, who's brought you this far, close mouths. Close mouths.
The reason why you're here for you to have a closed mouth. How about that?
Nah.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what can you say? But it is very interesting on priorities.
You can't say anything. And that is the truth because people are afraid of other people's reactions and what they believe in. And they're going to feel that they are being soft because they believe in God, or if they say, hey, I believe in Jesus Christ. Oh, man, oh, so you a goody two-shoes. You know what I mean? It's just like, then it's almost like a condescending reaction once you say that.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you a Mr. Goody two-shoes. Really? Okay. Well, whatever.
And you just pull something out of me. See, I gotta let people know that because I gotta let people know this because I do have a lot of people. You know, I'm not gonna, you know, be real, make it sound like it's segregated or something. But it is the truth. I do have a lot of unbelievers, people who do not believe yet, but you know, just like how I flow or whatever, that follow me. And I do need to say that hell is not gonna be a party for sinners. People got this misconception thinking like, man, it's too y'all, the God side too strict, man. I'll deal with hell when I get there. And they think that hell is going to be a place where all the sinners are going to go and party and do ungodly things, which is not true. Sin is horrible.
Yeah.
It's not what's up. You know what I mean? And the thing is, you man, truthfully, you want to be called a goody two-shoe if that's the thing about it. If that's what's going to get you to heaven.
now, I tell you what, you can find out if you want to. Yes, that W again. I tell you what.
That's that W.
Yeah, you get.
It ain't too much good behind that W.
Nah, I ain't trying to find out. Because when you get there, it's too late.
It's too late.
You can't.
Can you lie?
Well, man, this ain't what I thought it was gonna be. Let me do this over.
Ain't no redos.
Ain't no do-overs, son.
And I was talking to one of my homeboys this week, and I was like, bro, can you imagine you die? You die, and you stand before God, and God said, I don't know you. Go to hell.
Yeah.
That, but that could rip, that's a living heart attack. Like, you can't die from this heart attack. It's just, I can't even fathom to hear those words. You know what I'm saying? And on top of that, can you even imagine that your whole life, going back to the scripture, your whole life you've been claiming to be saved and you doing all this stuff, but truthfully you never said, you never knew God. You might have done some stuff for him, but it was only because you wanted to leave an impact, but you never knew God. You never confessed his name, nor did you repent or anything. So when you die after doing all this stuff and you claim you were for God and you die and you see him, and he said, I don't know you. None of your prayers got to me. Because you...
Let's do this. Let's bring it down to a little bit instructional. Like, you know, if you read instructions, it's real basic.
Yeah.
Now, let's bring it to this point. Imagine if you were framed. Let's say someone said, hey, man, this is the guy that killed my girlfriend. You come to the door. You go to your mom's house. You're like, okay, I wasn't out there when that happened. So you go to your mom's house, you knock on your mom's door, and they keep her open the door like, I don't know you.
Mm.
My mom, come on now, you stop playing. Wasn't I
right.
At home? They talk about I was out at this time. Who are you?
Mm.
I don't know who you are. The police officer saying, you said this is your mother. This is my mother. Who are you? I don't know who you are. And she shut the door.
Wow. Hmm.
That's frightening.
That is.
You're trying, like, look, man, I ain't do nothing wrong. And you try and get this, tell this officer, look, this is my mom. I was here. This is where I was at. At the time of this particular crime that you said I was supposed to have committed. I didn't do that. Well, she shut the door on you. I don't know who you are.
Hmm. Hmm.
But at that time, you ain't got time to be upset.
You don't?
Don't be a hot upset. You got. Hope you got a lot of ice water.
Well, you ain't getting it, though.
I don't even think that's going to happen. I don't even think that ice water going to help you out there, son.
No.
No, no, no. But as in the segue, you know what? We have, ladies and gentlemen, and our new listeners. Let's look at it that way. Our new listeners.
Yeah.
We always give a word for the day, as well as we have what we call our current event, as well as the weird news of the day. And other things, we do have a special guest calling in and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have some very interesting things for the weird news. I mean, really interesting things. And I know my man, Lace, has some great current events for you.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get into that, I know I need to, my throat's kind of parched, so I need to get some ice water. Talking about all this hail and stuff like that. So, what I'm going to do for you guys is I want to go into one of my favorite songs that I guaranteed that I was going to be playing week after week. And for the people that know what it is, they're going to know what it is. It is Al Green's Everything's Going to Be All Right.
Good song.
here on the Covenant Cafe with your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
And we will be right back.
Have you ever seen a music video of that?
You know what? It's been a minute. No, I will have to look that up again.
Yeah, it's dope. And it's real. Just like how it is. It's up-tempo. It's joyful. Like, he's coming back. You know, it's a party. This is a party. Let me check it out.
I'm going to have to look it up again because it's been some time since I've seen it.
Yeah, you put me on the song, so you know I just so happened to type it in YouTube. And I'm like, man, this is dope.
Hey, cause everything gonna be all right.
Everything gonna be all right.
For Jizzle, so what we got going on here in the world?
All right. So speaking of everything is gonna be all right, we have a lot of smokers, not cigarette smokers, but marijuana smokers who are feeling the same way right now. I don't know. I'm not ready to say sad to say, but I definitely want to say sad to say. In Colorado and Washington, after our current election, marijuana has been legalized. This is very, very topic that I do want to talk to you about. I want to know how you feel about it. So marijuana has been legalized. Colorado, actually the governor of Colorado, he's telling his people, y'all hold up. I'm going to quote him. Before you pop out the bag of Cheetos, you need to understand something. So basically, this is exactly what he's saying, because he's fully aware of what's going on. So he's like, he's wanting to distress more laws and regulations before a place can actually start selling legal marijuana. The thing about it is, already in certain places have been shut down for, I think it was, let me look at it directly, 21 places, 21 stores have opened up of strictly marijuana sales, and it was illegal that they opened up. So it's funny that it's a legal drug, which is now legally being sold. You still got to go through the legal precautions to sell it, to solicit it. So this is big. And I want to know, how do you feel about that? Do you think everything's all good? Everything will be all right?
Man, I'm going to say it like this. If you look at history, it goes all the way back to the prohibition with the alcohol. You know what I mean? There are some facts that marijuana is less, less deadly than alcohol. There are more issues with alcohol, like drunken drivers, abuse, because it's a fact that most users, when they smoke marijuana, they kind of lay back. Now, here's the deal. Is it gonna lower the rate of drug dealers? No. Because they're still going to be selling it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if Walmart has it, they're gonna beat Walmart price.
Yeah, they're like bootleggers.
And they're still bootleggers. They're still shot houses. Shot houses.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm more defense. I was more leaning like, okay, for medicinal purposes, if it's there for that purpose, okay. I mean, strictly for that, okay. But other than that, just to say, hey, man, hey, I can smoke legal. I don't know, man. I guess I got to say, like, if it's legal, I mean, you can't really say anything about it. I mean, what can you say in this particular situation? I mean, let's say, stripping.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, you're degrading your body. You know, say, I'm doing it just to get through college. Okay, whatever. But you're still degrading your body. At the same time, marijuana is something from the earth. It's an herb. I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence with it. I'm not a user. Ladies and gentlemen, do not take this as I'm a user, but I look at it. I just look at it from perspective as it's a herb. It's not a dangerous herb as opposed to those who drink alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
You never hear about somebody becoming abusive on marijuana.
Okay. Let's go. Going into the
it doesn't exist because I don't know everything.
Uh-huh.
Most likely, you're not going to hear someone getting abused. Like, what? What's the addiction? Marijuana? What? Whatever he did was he didn't smoke enough of it. If he's swinging at somebody. Now, if you're talking about these other drugs like meth and all this other stuff, that's different.
See, this is where the issue is. The issue is, what it does, because we got to look at things from more of a spiritual perception perspective. The thing about it is marijuana takes you to a highness. It takes you to another state of mind. And the thing about it, if you think about it, it's a form of sorcery. You know, this is the truth of it, just doing biblical studies, a form of sorcery. And you are achieving a level of spirituality not through fasting or prayer or meditation through God, but more so it's demonic. And you ever notice, it's a demonic possession. If you pay attention to a person that smokes, cause, you know, I used to be in the club all the time. Now, I was never a user, but I'm always alert, so I'm around people that smoke. And by watching them, you know, they become a different person. You know, and if it's laziness, ignorance, a forgetful mind, very, very hungry, like munchies, like little different things, they're not the same person. Sometimes extremely goofy, sometimes quick temper, or even just putting, like you said, almost by a chill. The thing about it is, you're not you anymore.
Hold that thought. We do have a caller on line one. So let's go to our line. Caller, you're on. Yes, you're on air. This is the Covenant Cafe.
This is Gail Fly.
Hello, Ms.
Gail.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. How
great.
I'm doing very well. I literally just walked in the door. I'm doing well, though.
Okay, well, since you just walked in the door, we have this gift that we give everyone because we don't have any cash on us, and this is a victim-proof gift. We're going to give Ms. Gail Fly this right here.
Thank you.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How is everybody?
Everyone's doing awesome.
We're great. We're great.
Good. Well, thank you for having me on the line.
No problem at all. This is this is Lamont Ferguson. Boy Mace is the one that's going to be giving you the third degree.
Oh, wow. Mm. Okay. oh, wow. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Make it sound so tragic.
right.
But woman of God, we honor you, and we are so blessed that you came on. First and foremost, I commend you. I checked out some of your stuff. I'm not going to tell the people what I saw yet, but applaud you. I thank God that we have you on the battlefield. So that's what I had to get out of the way first. So. Miss Gail Fly. Now, when I first saw your name, because I like keeping real people, I like, hold on, so was she Fly? And I had to do my research, like, oh, that's...
See, that's my real name. That's not a stage name. That's my real name.
That's your real name.
Right. A lot of people think, is that your stage name? I don't have a stage name. That is my real name.
That is very interesting.
You Fly. So my first question to you, though, who is Gail Fly? We want to know who you are. We never heard your music. We know nothing about you. We just know you here. And you got to be important because you here. So God doing something with you. Who is Gail Fly? That's what we want to know.
Gail Fly is a servant of God. Gail Fly is someone who loves God and loves his people. She is a wife, mother, a worshiper. I like to say, just an everyday normal, average person that just really, you know, yielded my heart and my life to God for what he wanted me to do and say in this season. So in a nutshell, you know, that's me. I mean, I'm a recording artist, you know, independent gospel recording artist. But my heart is for worship and for God's people to really enter into worship and worship God for who he is. That's who Gail Fly is in a nutshell.
Amen. So now I want to take you deeper.
Okay.
I'm from what they call an urban community. And basically, urban community is a nice way of calling it a ghetto. And a lot of people that I deal with on a day-to-day basis, they're like, why should I hold on to God? What is the reason or what can God do for me? I don't know why because I look at the same stuff every day. So what I'm saying, what I'm asking you is, what is your testimony? What can you tell somebody that God has done for you or give us that powerful testimony about Gail's Fly life that can cause us to say, you know what, I need to find out who this God is she serves.
Mm-hmm. I think that all of us, you know, saved, not saved, know God, not no God. I think all of us can say that the common factor with all of us that we've all experienced life, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
I think, though, that the difference is me having God in my life gives me hope. So I don't, I go through things just like everybody else. You know, some people have heard my testimony, you know, Hurricane, oh, my God, 2005, Hurricane Katrina devastated my life, my family. We lost everything. I was very discouraged. I was upset. I was sad. I was hurt. I was angry. Those are human, you know, emotions that I would normally have and experience after going through something as traumatizing as that experience was. However, at the end of the day, I had God, so I didn't have to give up. I didn't have to say I don't have hope. I can't rebuild. I can't go on. I can't live anymore. Mm-hmm. I had God, and God was my strength. He kept my mind intact. So, I mean, people literally lost everything. They gave up on life. I had God in my life, and that's the one thing that when I lost everything, right, everything, like we had two houses, and one day one was gone, and the other one was damaged, and so we didn't have a place to stay, right? We had two cars. One was damaged in the flood, and the other was parked in some part of the city, and we couldn't get to it. We literally had the clothes in a duffel bag that we packed for those 3 days that we thought we were going to be gone, and that was it. But when I tell you that at every destination, at every stopping point, God had somebody there assigned to us to take care of us, to take us in, to make sure that we were okay. That's because I have God in my life. And so he orders our steps. Like, that's not just like a thing to say. He orders our steps even when we are experiencing the worst of the worst. He's in the midst of it, and he kept my mind. You know, he's a restorer. I mean, he's done some wonderful, awesome things. And here I sit today to share with the world, you know, if you're going through something, you need God in your life to bring you out of that, to give you the hope to get out of bed in the morning. You need God day to day.
Amen. I definitely appreciate you sharing your testimony, because I love to show people, regardless of status, that, you know, we are human and we all deal with stuff. And the fact that someone of your, where God is taking you at, to share that, it speaks volumes to a lot of people. So I really thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely.
Next question. I'm not going to chew you up. It's not chewing you up.
My life's an open book. Let's do it. Go.
All right, so I want to know what you ate. Let me just plan. Can you tell us a little bit about Raising the Standard Music LLC?
I can. Raising the Standard Music LLC, I will say that the name was birthed, God, I don't even know how many years ago. God gave my husband, who is an associate pastor and a minister and an evangelist, preaching machine, Albert Fly, so that name is really his fault. God gave him a vision for a ministry, I don't even know how many years ago, but it was Raising the Standard Ministry. And at the time, I was kind of doing my music under a publishing name of, and this was really cute, right, under the name of Two Fly LLC, because it was just, you know, right. So it was me and him, you know, Two, you know, Fly. That was a cool little catchy name, right? But God dealt with my heart about the ministry that God had birthed in him, and me being his wife and the one that should carry that which he has shared with me, God gave me to shut down the Two Fly Publishing LLC and to rebirth my music ministry under Raising the Standard Music. So Raising the Standard Music is really to forerun and set the stage for a ministry that is to come out of my husband. That's the background behind the name.
Okay.
Beautiful.
That sounds really fly. Yeah.
That, you know what? This is no escaping that. So,
so what we're going to do, we're going to go into the song that we have for you as in the presence of the Lord.
Awesome.
Before we go into that, can you give us a little background about this song before we go into it?
Absolutely. In the Presence of the Lord was released in November last year. But can I tell you, I wrote that song probably 10 years ago. Right. So just to stay out there to the person who writes their, you know, puts their lyrics on a piece of paper and puts that tablet in the nightstand drawer and it never goes anyway. That song was written 10 years ago, but in this season, God really started to deal with me about his presence, about getting in his presence, about staying in his presence. I think sometimes in music, you know, in the business, in the industry, we sometimes lose focus. And when we start, you know, selling product and doors start opening and, you know, people start to know who we are, I think sometimes, not all the times and not everybody, but sometimes we get a little bit caught up and we start to lose focus. But God, you know, brought me back to say it's all about me and my presence. It's about me as the artist, as an individual, as a person writing these songs and singing these songs, getting and staying in his presence to carry this music. And it's about getting that message to the listeners to bring them in the presence of God.
Great.
Amen.
And there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Gil Fly. The song is In the Presence of the Lord. And we will be right back after the song to speak with Gil. Okay? Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Covenant Cafe. You heard it here.
No other place I'd rather. And in the presence of the Lord, how I long to be where worry and cares cease. The highest mountain cannot compare.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Glory to God.
Okay. Wait, you know what? Hold on. Hey,
trying not to get rowdy, because you know we have, you know, me go mine.
Definitely. Now, okay, I have one more question for you. I know they're going to close you out. Okay, now, your writing process, me personally, I'm a writer, not a writer of songs, but, you know, I write plays, short films, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I get my inspiration through different sources. Where do you get your inspiration for writing?
I get my inspiration actually through my time with God. I walk in the mornings. I mean, I haven't always, but that's the time where it's just, you know, it's just me and the outside elements, and I can just talk to God, and He can talk to me, and things come to me then. And then from that moment on, and you know, at the start of the day, it's just randomly, like, you know, at any moment during the day, I just have to grab a pen and paper and write it down. I started having to keep a tablet by my nightstand because, I mean, literally at any time, I just have to grab it and jot it down. And now with the phones, with all the technology on the phone, sometimes if there's a tune, I just have to, you know, put it in my phone. So it comes in bits and pieces, and then eventually, you know, God gives me how to put the whole thing together.
Okay, and then one more question.
Sure.
What do you have, what kind of advice do you have for the young artist that's coming up?
I would say to seek God. I would say to learn the business. Oh, my God. I would say to study the business and learn it from inside out. I would say for gospel independent artists to connect with things like the Gospel Announcers Guild, connect with, you know, associations that are doing things in gospel music, seminars and workshops and showcases and things where you can, you know, you can meet and connect with like-minded individuals and people that can guide you through the process. The last thing that you want to do is just, like, jump out there and put your project in the wrong person's hands, and it ends up somewhere where you don't need it to be. So my first advice would be to seek God and then to really take your time and study and learn the business and the process of what you're doing.
Okay. Now, we do have a call on a line, too, actually. They have a question for you, okay?
Okay, great. Okay.
Let's go to line 2. Caller, you're on the air. Come to the cafe.
Good evening.
Hi.
Good evening. How are you doing?
Hi. Good. How you doing, Lamont? How you doing, sister? This is Fiona Huff, and I'm originally from Norfolk, Virginia. I lived in New York for 14 years and just coming back to the Hampton Roads area. And my ministry is in empowering single moms. I have a magazine called Solo Mommy. And what I would like to ask you is what godly words of encouragement do you have as I move forward to empower single mothers like myself, because my daughter is 12 and my son is 9, and so I endure all that I empower other single moms to do. And so, I just want, you know, some encouragement for me as well as other single mothers that I to help.
Sure. I would say be honest. I would say be transparent. I think that, you know, when we have gone through life and we have experienced some things, some good, some bad, some up, some down, and we've managed with God's help to come out of it successfully, I think that sometimes we forget what we've gone through. And when we meet, you know, younger people coming up that are going through some of the things that we know that we went through, I think sometimes we forget to share and be honest and let them know that we were right in that same situation and that same mindset. But if you can be transparent, be honest, be touchable, be reachable, I think that that's the most effective ministry that you could have.
Wow. Thank you.
Yeah, people are shocked at the things that I get up and just openly share that I've gone through in my life or that have happened. But it's the, I mean, the next person needs to hear it. They need to know it. They need to look at me and say, oh, well, if she can come out of it, then I know that there's hope for me. Do you know what I mean? I think that sometimes we accept God and we forget, or we want to forget that we didn't always know God, and that even when we knew God, we made some bad decisions, some bad choices. And I think that young people need to know that. I mean, they need to see you as a success, as a magazine owner, as a whatever, but they need to hear your mistakes, your pitfalls, and your blunders, and how God helped you out of it so that they have hope.
Wow, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
ma'am. Definitely good to hear from you, Fiona.
Thank you, Lala.
All right, we'll be talking with you.
Okay.
All right. And now, Ms. Fly, I would like to thank you for opening up your arms like that. That is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how else to do it, I guess. I don't want people to look at Gail Fly and put Gail on a pedestal and think that, you know, Gail gets up every morning and it's just the heavens open and the angels come. I mean, it's just not like that. You know, even as a seasoned person in the Lord, there are days where I go through things. There are days that I don't feel like going. There are days where I am battling things. But the difference between me and the person that doesn't have God, again, is that I have God to go through for my strength and for my help and for that push. And then I just want to say I have an awesome husband that when he sees me having a moment or having a day where I'm just not, you know, I don't think I could do it, he pushes me to do it because he knows that it's about ministry. And so I would say that even if it isn't a husband, if it's a friend, if it's a family member, everybody needs that somebody in their corner that can push them when they see them kind of feeling a little bit tired.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
I agree too.
Nice, it's all yours.
I'm kind of blown. Let me get my mind together.
Don't be blown.
I'm just glad. So, with that being said, do you have any future events or upcoming events, projects, or anything that we should be on the lookout for?
Well, I mean, New Orleans, I mean, yeah, I've got a praise and worship service coming up this Saturday at Chief Cornerstone Ministries in New Orleans. I will be going to the Texas Gospel Announcers Guild event the week of Thanksgiving, that Friday and Saturday, with Bill Martin. That is going to be in Dallas, Texas. I will be stopping in Lufkin, Texas, with Pastor T.C. Collins on the 25th. I try to keep my schedule updated on my website, www.rtsmusicllc.com. I try to put it on Facebook, so if supporters and friends are ever in any of those areas, they can meet me there. Get a lot of comments from people that I have not met and I don't know, and I love that if I'm in an area where they are, that we could actually meet and say hi. Yeah, those are the immediate things that are coming up.
Can you give us your Facebook and your Twitter and your website again so we can stay
Absolutely.
Updated.
My official website, www.rts, that's for Raising the Standard, rtsmusicllc.com. My Facebook page is facebook.com/GailFlyMusic. I'd love to hear from you there. That like button is growing thanks to some marketing that we've been doing. Twitter, Gail Fly. I'm kind of still figuring out the tweet thing. I'm kind of still new to the Twitter thing, but I do have a Twitter account, and every now and then I actually do send a tweet or two. So yeah, hit me up on any of those. I'd love to hear from the listeners. It's always encouraging to me to hear from somebody who I don't know, that I haven't met, that have heard a song that has been a blessing in their life. That's always a blessing to me.
Oh, beautiful. We have one more question from our artist. He said, the question is, you mentioned a couple of the gospel connections for artists to reach out to. Can you state some of those names again?
What I'd say is there's a National Gospel Announcers Guild. They're called GAGS, Gospel Announcers Guild, G-U-I-L-D. There's a national one. Google that. Google the national page, because on that page it links you to every state that has a guild. And then on each state's page, it'll sync you to, there's like one anniversary event, the big event, like the one in Dallas, Texas. Texas Gospel Announcers Guild, their anniversary celebration is going to kick off the week of Thanksgiving. But there's one in not every state, but a lot of states. So I always tell the artists, if you Google the National Gag page, you can find all the states that have one. It is a blessing to connect with these groups. Also in Texas, Texas has so much stuff going on. Texas Gospel Music of Excellence Awards. Larry Davies does an event every February that's coming up really soon. Google, he's on Facebook. Pastor Larry Davies, D-A-V-I-E-S. He has an awards event coming up in February. We're nominated for a couple of categories.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so, but definitely that National Gag site will link you to the state's gags and each one that has an event. There's always something going on, and I would strongly encourage independent artists especially to get with those states that have one. Even if you have to travel outside of your state, it's worth it to make the investment. I can't say that enough to independent artists, who invest in your own ministry first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't just expect somebody else to invest in you. Invest in your own ministry first. It's so worth it.
Amen.
That's awesome. Just to let you know, I went on your page that I did a friend request, so look out for my name.
I'm going to look for that. Absolutely.
I'll be doing so as well.
I accept all of them.
So what I'd like to say, like I said, definitely appreciate all your hard work that you putting out there, and thank you for calling in, taking time out of your personal life to give us some of your time as well.
Thank you all for having me. I always enjoy invitations from radio to just talk and connect with the listener. That's always a blessing. So thank you all so much.
All right, and we'll be looking forward to the great things that will be coming from your camp, all right?
Okay, sounds great. You guys be blessed.
All right.
You too.
Okay, good night.
Good night. Awesome lady.
Awesome.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Gail Fly. And just so you understand her name, that is her name, Gail Fly. That's very good. That's very unique.
Gail is Fly.
Yes.
Fly Gail, like however you want to say it.
So, ladies and gentlemen, what we're going to do, let's go into a song, and we're going to come back and finish our current events, and then we'll get into the weird news that's going on and some weird stuff going on out there, people. Guys, you know who we need right now?
Who's that?
Lord Jesus. That's what we need, little Jesus.
Amen.
Sweet baby Jesus, that's what we need. And guess what? Smokey Northland knows that too. Remember the song, I Need You Now?
Yes.
Let's go into that.
There you go.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to The Covenant Cafe, your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
Well, we're going to be listening to a little Smokey Northland, I Need You Now, right here on The Covenant Cafe.
Not a second or another minute, not an hour or another day, but at this moment with my arms outstretched, I need you to make a way, as you have done so many times. Throwing door and open door, I stretch my hands to thee. Come rescue me, I need you right away. I need you now, I need you now, I need you now.
and restore all of the faith that I left while I was yet searching the world for more. The truest friend I have indeed, you're my best friend I know in need. I stretch my hands to thee, come rescue me, I need you right away. The agony of being alone, fear of doing things on my own, the tests and trials that come to make me strong.
Prevent something worse from happening.
Yeah. Man, you know, it's so much that can be said about that in all aspects. Like,
yes.
Even like, you know, I can see a comedian use them as material, but at the same time, it's a serious deal there. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
Wow, that subject is so wide open.
Right.
Because for the simple fact that you can even go to the dollar store and they sell pregnancy tests.
Right.
So that means you can test yourself for this particular cancer by, you know, go purchasing a pregnancy test for $1.
Right.
That can change your life, just like that pregnancy test would change the life for a woman.
Exactly. And it's funny how, you know, as the times grow nearer towards the end, it's like we're running out of excuses for our lives, whether it be salvation to Jesus Christ or to live a healthy life. We're running out of excuses. Like, oh, why didn't you ever go to the doctor? Man, you know, I can't afford this and that. Well, accidentally, you can get a birth control test and just so happen to pee on it and find out, you know, if your testicles are in danger or not. Checkups. We have the Obamacare. It's a lot going on to where, you know, we need to be more health cautious or be more alert about our souls as well as our health, our mentality, as well as our physicality. So definitely, you know, we're running out of excuses.
We have no excuses. And that is the truth. We have no excuses. Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. So as you know, two major things that just happened was, you know, the election and Hurricane Sandy. I decided to do a little research on Miss Sandy, just to basically share with Americans. This is not just Americans, but we have a world audience. So around everybody in the world about the severity of what happened, how, you know, prayers and just being alert of the situation. Hurricane Sandy was the largest Atlantic hurricane on record, as well as the second coastless Atlantic hurricane in history, only surpassed by Hurricane Katrina in 2005, the 18th named storm and 10th hurricane of the 2012 Atlantic hurricane season. Hurricane Sandy devastated portions of the Caribbean, mid-Atlantic, and northeastern United States in the late October 2012. Sandy is estimated in early calculations to have caused damage of at least $20 billion USA dollars. Preliminarily, estimates losses that include businesses in therapists surpass $50 billion USA. Being only Hurricane Katrina, at least 191 people were killed along the path of the storm in seven countries. So, you know, just not even going all the way into depth about all the news, but just giving you just surface detail of how many people, you know, 191, and this was when I looked it up, so I don't, you know, if it's been updated from then, but 191 people were killed. Billions upon billions upon billions of dollars was lost due to businesses. People lost their homes. People lost their lives. People having to relocate. It's dramatic. And on top of that, as you see in this information here, the only thing that surpassed it in the United States was Hurricane Katrina when it came to Katrina. Mind you, they're still dealing with it. You heard that Miss Gail Fly was a Hurricane Katrina victim. So it's the thing is, what I'm basically sharing is that, one, to be grateful of, you know, everybody that survived and everyone who does not have to deal with it or whatever it may be grateful that you still have your life and that God has blessed you and covered you, that you did not take a loss like that. And on top of that, if you are able, you know, give a helping hand, not only to all those who are in need, even to Hurricane Katrina victims who are still dealing with it. Hurricane victims, point blank, period, Hurricane Sandy. Give a helping hand if you can, whether it be just by prayer or donations or an email to somebody saying encouraging words, or just even if it's just prayer, like I said, just prayer. You know, this is a time, like I said, we are running out of excuses as far as health and everything and salvation. So this is a time where we need to pull closer together, pull closer to God, to really be there for one another and strengthen one another in our walks in life. Because this is a tough thing. And just keeping it real with y'all, going from a biblical prophecy standpoint, it's going to get worse. There are going to be more hurricanes. There are going to be more earthquakes. There are going to be more things that happen. And the only way to stand strong in the midst of all these tragedies that may occur in this life is by pulling closer to God and realizing there's no more excuses. Either you either with us or you against us.
Exactly.
Straight up. That's what the Bible is saying. So,
so check it out. Also, these events going to be happening more and more in places that are not known normally.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right on point. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, so don't think because you live in Ohio, there's not going to be an earthquake.
Right.
You know, we had an earthquake here a year or so ago.
And I was there when it happened.
You know, so it's possible for it to happen anywhere because God's in control.
Exactly.
You know, so, wow. Yeah, and definitely there a lot of prayer need to go out to those that were affected by Katrina. I mean, Katrina, but Sandy.
Yes.
Like you said, there was a lot of people affected by that, whether it was by, residents or business, you know.
Right.
Being that the business was affected, that's a kind of that local economy hit.
Yeah.
You know, so, keep those guys in prayer. Man. So was that the last bit? Because we can go ahead and pay our bills, like we know.
We can go ahead and pay our bills.
Well, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, definitely send a prayer out to those definitely that were affected by that Sandy, because she came through here with a vengeance. That's crazy. But ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna go ahead and pay our bills, and we're gonna come back out to the Weird But True News. Here on the Covenant Cafe.
Do you have an event you're planning and need a keynote speaker? Then the Speakers Bureau Institute is the agency for you. Actress Tasha Smith partners with RKD Music and Talent Management to bring an array of celebrity speakers, artists, and athletes for your event. Book names like Kim Coles, Tasha Smith, Tisha Campbell-Martin, Vanessa Bell Calloway, LaToya Luckett, Lisa Leslie, Flex Alexander, Leela James, Cheryl Lee Ralph, and more. Whether it's a conference, workshop, seminar, or college event, SBI has provided a phenomenal lineup of speakers that will cater to your event. For more information on booking a speaker for your next event, call 818-571-0998 or visit rkdmusic.com. SBI is a subsidiary of RKD Music and Talent Management, located in Beverly Hills, California.
Attention all shoonistas. Looking for a hot stiletto? Are you addicted to sexy shoes? Make a fashion statement and check out the Stiletto Diva at www.thestilettodiva.com. We have what you need. The Stiletto Diva is committed to bringing you a variety of affordable, quality styles to help complete the sexy in you. We're here to assist you with bringing out the ultimate diva from head to soul. True divas wear stilettos. Visit us at www.thestilettodiva.com to find the perfect pair or for information about booking a party.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back to the Weird But True News. Let's start off with Mr. Thomas Burns. He's a Catholic priest who allegedly bites fellow priest Thomas Smith's ear off.
Oh, my goodness.
Can you say it's the holy war?
What?
An 80-year-old Catholic priest bit off another priest's ear and socked him in the face over a parking spot in Australia.
Come on.
Father Thomas Henry Byrne appeared in court Friday after he allegedly started the violent brawl when 81-year-old Father Thomas Joseph Cameron Smith, he got a lot of names, but however, wouldn't give up his parking space. After a brief scuffle, Byrne reportedly told Smith to pick up an item on the ground, and the item was Smith's ear.
Oh, God.
So it took him a while to figure out what it was. Smith the flesh in a pee pile and drove to a local hospital where staff phoned him an ambulance. He was taken to surgery while cops went to arrest Vern on a charge of grievous bodily harm. I hope I said that right. Vern had a black eye when he showed up in court on Friday, according to the Independent. The magistrate ordered that Vern not to go within 30 feet of Smith, who lives in the same apartment complex.
Wow.
How does that taste? Quite sure it doesn't taste like an elephant ear from the carnival.
Wait, so you said 85 and 81 years old.
Yes. They scuffling like they just heard a new Jay-Z song or something. That is crazy.
It's
at
not.
80 and 81
years old. What's the thing is, it's not the fact that you said they were priests. That didn't get my attention. You said they were 81, so it's not the fact that they're priest fighting because, you know, we all are human. Things happen. But
yeah.
They're 81 and 85. I always feel like I'm going to get to an age to where it's like, you know, I'm done. You know what? I'm not fighting. Nope. Mm-mm. I'm chilling. I really feel like we could talk this out.
I understand where you're going. I'm going to go somewhere a little bit more simplistic.
Talk to me.
I'm 39. I'm not fighting over parking.
That's what I'm saying.
If I'm about to park and you cut me off and you make me hit your car, I have insurance.
Yes.
And if you take my spot, I might push you out in my mind, but I'm going to go ahead and move on to the next spot.
You move on. Now let's go to the deepest of it. They're priests.
They're priests.
And they've been, I imagine you... They're 80-something years old. I know they ain't just become a priest at 70-something. So
exactly.
They've been in this arena for a minute. I'm wrong. I'm 24. I ain't fighting nobody. What you talking about with no parking space? What you talking about? Oh, my goodness.
Crazy. My news this week is getting a little bit stranger as it goes.
Talk to us.
I can't pronounce this. Hainan Airlines says nobody order for pilots. Sniffs job seekers' armpits. Read the story out. China's fourth largest airline recently traveled to Shanghai province to sniff out potential pilots. Literally, the airline stipulated that they would not hire pilots with bad body odor. And the recruiters, this is what they do, put their noses up to the job seekers' pits to make sure no odor went undetected. It might seem really weird to raise a stink about a pilot's body odor, but one recruiter justified the sniff test by explaining that airline staff worked closely with the public. No passenger wants to smell a pilot's armpit. And if they can keep their cool in this test, they aren't going to sweat in the cockpit. The requirement was really the pits for one applicant who passed every other test with flying colors and only failed the odor exam.
Oh.
Wow.
That.
He says, I was duelled by my armpits, which are always a bit whiffy. I recruit men, according to the Orange News. The other requirements for prospective pilots include 20/20 vision and maximum height of 6'2". And ability to communicate in English. Cleanliness has become something of an obsession in China in the recent years. Earlier this year, officials say in Beijing, it laid down a 2-fly maximum to limit insects in the city's public toilets.
Wow.
Wow.
This is my thing. How many people do you know with 20/20 vision?
Not me.
I'm sure I know. I don't know anyone, nor me. And my thing, this guy has 20/20 vision. And he has everything, flying colors. But his armpits weren't on point. This is my thing. That y'all, why don't just, he can't take complimentary deodorant? Like, here, like, we, it's mandatory that you swipe your arms 2 to 3 times before you come on this plane with his complimentary deodorant.
That's what he did. It just didn't work.
So is it possible to wear deodorant and it does not work?
I don't know. That man must got some bad body odor.
He did admit in an article, my armpits have always been, and I quote, whiffy.
That is a new term for the year, and the year is almost over.
I'm going to try my best to use this term at least once for the rest of the show until this year is out. I got to find some way to slide it in, but I'm going to try.
This is the last story for the Weird News. Rappers robbed studio after recording the song Larry Hoover at Copycat Studio in Maryland.
Mm.
Check this out. Before I get into this, the title in itself tells you what idiocy. I mean, like, just recorded the song, so they have your vocals.
Yes.
You in there, of course, you didn't record a song with a mask on.
Of course.
Okay, let's just get into the story. This is crazy.
Go ahead.
It was 50 Cent who once said, if my record doesn't sell, I'm going to rob and steal. These books robbed before their record even released.
Oh, my gosh.
Maryland cops are searching for a pair of wannabe rappers who robbed a recording studio just minutes after they finished laying down a track there. According to NBC Washington. About 1 a.m. on Thursday, the unidentified thieves recorded a song called Larry Hoover, apparently dedicated to a famous Chicago gangster, King Larry, at Copycats in Laurel, Maryland. After they finished, they left for a few minutes, came back with guns. They demanded that everyone sit down and started taking valuables. They made off with an undisclosed amount of items and cash from the studio, and Copycats then returned calls for comments by the press time. Investigators' only piece of evidence is the song. What we're looking for in this voice is the voice recognition law, the police stated in there for their comments. Maybe someone will recognize their voices or know this tune or know who these fellows are. It is important to note that the video clip below, they have a video clip, has a taste of the song, as well as, you can kind of just listen to their voices. Now, if you go to HuffingtonPost.com, you can look for the story, and you can kind of look at the video, and they can, and it'll go into detail. But my thing is this. The song, I listened to this song, song's bad.
It's bad. I believe you.
Song's
bad. They're maybe not real rappers. They probably just came in just to do that. I don't know.
Song's bad. I don't
maybe they are real. Maybe they are real rappers.
You just robbed the studio. I'm not justifying any type of crime.
Correct.
Your face. You have been seen.
Mm-hmm.
You recorded a song. Somebody's going to be like, oh, that's so and so. Somebody's going to talk. Because, usually they offer a reward.
Yeah, they're going to get called. They're going to get called.
In most cases, someone's going to say, hey, I will tell you who that is for a small price if you really want them.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So that is the weird news for today, ladies and gentlemen. This is nuts. Whiffy comments, fake gangster rappers, and fighting priests. Wow.
Wow.
How about we do this? let that marinate for a little bit, we're going to go into a song. And the name of the song is by 2103. Remember this group, 2103?
Yeah, we had them on the show.
Huh?
Yeah, we had them on the show.
Yes.
They are under J. Moss. Yeah.
Yeah, incredible. So these stories definitely has led me to play this song. Incredible. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to none other than the Covenant Cafe, your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
We're about to play the song Incredible here on the Covenant Cafe. We'll be right back.
So incredible, so incredible to me.
Get here, how do I stay? When it ends, what will you say? Engulfed in the fire, submerged by the flood, I'm nestled in your love. That's so incredible.
incredible. Wow.
Miss Anna.
Jeez. You know,
you're on a roll tonight. You've been playing some good songs.
Man, my thing is this. Just like I said earlier, the vitamin for Kristen, B1.
Stop. That's actually a good joke.
Because listening to the news, listen to these crazy situations that's going, I mean, like, not just the weird news, this, I mean, all of it, all the things that we talked about today, it's just really interesting what's happening. And, like, kind of touched upon the election, you know, there was some issues that, you know, our president pushed for, which I didn't agree with. And I found it interesting that after the election, like, some of the major things, you know, like, you know, as far as the gay and lesbian, there's a lot of issues with that going on.
Uh-huh.
You know, and the marijuana, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, only thing I think my concern is with any president and their last term, because they don't have to run for re-election, is what are they going to do?
Yep.
You know, that's black, white, poor, whoever is in office. You know, that last term for most presidents is like the term where they pass some stuff and they have, not to say nonchalant, but they don't have to worry about, unless they do some crime and they get impeached, but they don't have to worry about running again.
Sure.
So what are some of the issues that are going to hit the table that we don't know about that may be passed?
Yes.
You know, those are some interesting things, like legalizing marijuana. Yes, you know. Now, and like we spoke about it earlier, you know, the demonic spirits that it brings in and things of that nature. We also joke about how how it lays your, like, lay a person back, you know, they lay back at a point after using it. But, like, where do we go from here? Is it going to be state after state starting to want these regulations happening there, you know? Is it really going to cut down on crime? Is it really going to cut down on drug dealers? Is it really going to care about, okay, it's legal now?
Yeah.
I would really like to see the statistics in, like, comparison to states that is illegal and states that it is legal, and see where the crime, you know, the crime population percentage, is it going to be higher or lower? You know,
I agree with that. I definitely agree with that. And this is, you know, just being real, looking at it, like, things are getting worse. That's the honest truth of it. And things are getting worse. And a lot of these, because we are straying away from the traditions and the strong points that kept us, that got us here. You know what I mean? Like you said, okay, like, you got gay marriage being legal and marijuana being legal. We don't do this anymore. This was passed. This bill was passed. This and that. Removing God prayer out of schools. Like, look how dramatic things have become when you started, you know, going contrary to God's word. Just keeping it real like that. Took prayer out of school. Now you got teenage pregnancies at an all-time high. Legalizing. Like, it's crazy. Divorce getting higher. Divorce rate increasing. Now gays can get married. So the degree is going to just keep going up. It's just, all of us are increasing and not decreasing. Divorce is increasing. It's just, go ahead, Mont.
No, I was going to say, we also come upon a season where Christ's birth has been commercialized.
Not just that, they're putting an X on it, period. Xmas. Yeah. They're taking the name out altogether, yet we don't see that. I just feel like anybody, you know, real talk, I ain't calling nobody out, but I feel like if you better not be saying Happy Xmas.
Nah, no, that's just ridiculous.
Right.
And also, a lot of places say the holiday season. They don't even say Xmas.
Yeah.
Xmas is bad, but I think it's even worse. I think not saying is one step worse than Xmas. Xmas is, I do recognize what it is, but I can't say it. But when you actually don't say it, it's just like, it's just a whole other meaning. It's like, I'm not even acknowledging you. The Xmas is, I'm acknowledging you, but I can't say it. But they're saying, it's the holiday season, and saying, look, we're not going to deal with it all together.
No, I bet differ slightly, because it's like, what if I said, all right, here go one. You call it Xmas. You put an X, it's like you blandly, I know the name, I'm not gonna say it because I don't respect it, because I don't believe. And the other way is like the season is like, you know, just whatever. Example, this is my analogy for you. If somebody said, oh, now they're talking about you, you're over in the corner. Oh, go get the dude over there in the corner. All right, this that's holiday season. Or somebody say, oh man, go get that X-Men, like just with an X over Lamont, period. They don't even acknowledge you as a human. Go get that black man guy, just put an X on. They don't even acknowledge you. They know who you are. They know your name, but they just cross it out altogether and just recreate it instead of just, you know, just, now go get bro over there.
You have a point.
It's like a whole new level of disrespect, a whole new level of just, yeah, I know it was Christmas, but I ain't vibing with the first name on there, but I do like the must part, but I don't like the first part. So I'm going to just take it off because I ain't trying to live for him. I just want the gift. It's like a whole new level of disrespect.
That, you know what? You're absolutely right about that piece right there. That is definitely something to talk about, to think about, rather. Because, like you said, it's a whole new disrespect.
Yeah.
For the God we serve. So you gonna just put an X on everything and call it a day? Is that how you feel?
Oh, we put an X on your paycheck. Be like, oh yeah, no, we gonna put an X on this paycheck, but you know, just but act like you know what it is. Nah, you can't cash that, homie. It's gonna be void. Come on, you still know what it is. You know what I mean? Just put an X on it. Nah, the check's void now. You mark it out. What can I do with the check?
Right. Wow. Hold on, ladies and gentlemen. We do have a caller on line one. Oh, we're going to come back to the subject a little bit later on. Caller, you're on air. Line one. This is coming to Cafe.
Yo, what's up? This is Jay Shep.
What's
up?
What's going on,
guys?
How you doing?
Hello? Can y'all hear me?
You there?
Yeah,
I'm here.
Yeah. How you feeling, bro?
I'm doing good, man. Sitting down, actually had a little gathering here for my birthday. So got some family and friends over, but got a second to cut away to talk to you guys.
Oh, we definitely appreciate it. So we're going to do this. We're going to give you a recession-proof birthday gift, all right?
All right.
Happy birthday, bro.
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it.
So first and foremost, before we even start the interview, I want to tell you happy birthday. And
thank you, man.
I commend you. Man of God, it's an honor to have a man of God on the show, man, who is definitely fighting on the front line. And, you know, we appreciate that, and we definitely are going to keep you in prayer as you continue to march on the battlefield. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so now getting into it. All right, basically, we don't know who you are. We ain't read the bio. We ain't listen to the music. We're going to act like we were living in caves for the last 15 years. So we don't know nothing about Jay Shep.
Okay.
We want to know, who is Jay Shep? Because I'm fresh out of this cave, and it's been dark in there, and I want to know about this light that you're promoting. Who is Jay Shep?
Wow. Well, Jay Shep, man, basically I'm a man that loves God. I love my family, my wife, my children, and I'm committed to making and creating great music that uplifts and edifies the kingdom of God. I have a group called Standard. We're based out of Houston, Texas. I'm originally from Chicago, but I've lived in Houston for 2 years. And, you know, God called me to start a group here, and we've started working on a new project. And it's the CD that we're putting out next year is going to be called Faith and a Promise. So we're currently promoting our new single called Let's Go. And I'm just a person that believes in motivating people for them to achieve their best in God. I believe that God has created us all to be productive and for us to all bring increase into our lives and to those around us who we're able to influence. So, you know, that's pretty much me in a nutshell, man. I'm a basic guy. I'm actually watching the Bears game. I'm a huge Bears fan. You know, so I love sports, love to cook, love to go fishing. Oh, yeah, man.
This is the question of the year. Can you fry chicken?
Oh, man, I'm the best fried chicken. I'm the best fried chicken chef that you'll ever meet, man.
I'm gonna come to your city. Telling you this. This is a prophecy. This is gonna happen. I'm gonna come to your city. I'm gonna tweet you. I'm like, hey, what's up with the fried chicken?
Yes, sir.
All right.
You gotta do, man. But here's the secret, man. I brine my chicken before I fry it. You know what I'm saying? So when you brine your chicken, it's just right. Once you sink your teeth into it, man, it's perfect. It's perfect. So yeah, man. Whenever you're in Houston, man, hit me up. I love to fry catfish. I like to make gumbo, chicken Alfredo, spaghetti. You know, I just love to cook, man. I love to eat too. I'm not a big boy, but I love to eat. So
I feel you.
Yes, sir.
That's some good stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
Got my mouth watering. I'm hungry. We got to get back to this interview, though.
right.
All right. So I love asking this question because this question speaks volumes when an artist speaks, when every artist speaks. So my question to you is I'm from an urban community, which is a nice way of saying ghetto. Ghetto kind of thing. And a lot of people that I encounter on a day-to-day basis, they say the same thing. They really don't have – they feel they don't have a reason to believe in God. They don't know why they should turn to him or anything. So what we want to know your testimony. We want to know what has God done for you or brought you out of or is so significant that we need to cling to God as well.
You mean just today? You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, the biggest thing, like, what hasn't he done? I mean, you know, that's how I look at it. It's like, what hasn't he done? You know, and I think a lot of times, you know, when you grow up in church and, you know, you hear people make blatant statements like that, it's easy for us to go in our church voice and our church high horse because we've been blessed to be around great preachers. And some of us are, you know, second generation, you know, second and third, fourth generation church kids and fathers and pastors and bishops or whatever. But so we get kind of cynical in how we reply to people who haven't had the privilege of being brought up. So we take it for granted that some people don't believe in God and they don't understand why they should. And we bring up things that we feel like, well, you just should because he woke you up this morning. And then it'll be like, I had an alarm clock, you know. And then you try to reply to them and they're like, but, you know, you got to come more real than that. So basically, I think it's up to us to really let our light shine so men can see our works and not necessarily try to convince them to believe in God. Because the more you try to convince a person to believe in God, the more they're going to give you more reasons why they shouldn't. So, when I went to college and you get into these debates with people, you know, whether they're Muslim or agnostic or atheist or whatever, or even, you know, some of your teachers, they get into these debates with you and you're trying to throw them every scripture in the book, and you're trying to throw them everything. But God is like, look, you know, I don't need you to fight for people to believe in me. I just need you to believe in me and let them see me through you. And that's really the hardest thing to do as a Christian, because it's the equivalent of somebody talking about your mom or your daddy and you just want to fight. But, you know, your mom and daddy teach you to not fight. They teach you to, you know, hey, you know what you know, and as long as you keep yourself clean, as long as you keep yourself out of trouble, then everything is going to be okay. And that's basically what God instructs us to do. We're just supposed to love people and love on them to the point where they can't question, is there something different about you? And that's one of my biggest challenges, you know, just being transparent. I just feel like, you know, it's even as an artist, you know, we want to pontificate and stand on our high horse and, you know, say, oh, yeah, you should believe, you should be this and that. And it's easy to do that as a worship leader. Everybody stand on your feet. How dare you sit on your hands,
yeah,
you know, and we get into this worship bully mode. And, you know what I'm saying, when God didn't call us to be bullies, you know, God just called us to be true worshipers. And everybody, how people retain things is different. You know, I wasn't a brainiac in school, so the way I retain things is different than a person who's a valedictorian. You know, they could wake up and get straight A's, but I didn't, you know. And sometimes we kind of alienate or isolate people because they learn differently. They take in things differently. But what I have noticed about people is when you talk or when you sing or whenever you put out something, you know, people are going to have their own interpretation of it. And it's up to us as minstrels and preachers and whatever it is that we do, teachers, that we have the right intention and that we go out with the right intention. And however it falls on the ground, on the soil, you know, like the Bible says, some of it will fall on rocks, some of it birds are going to pluck away, some of it will fall on good ground. So you just got to pray that most of it falls on good ground and it will bear fruit. So, you know, I guess so in a nutshell, you know, what I would tell a person who doesn't believe in God is, you know, I'll just say, well, that's your prerogative, first of all, like, that's your choice. And we can't get mad, you know what I'm saying, like, it's all right. It's in us to get mad if somebody doesn't believe in God. It's in us to get mad if somebody says something on the news or they put something on TV shows that we know isn't biblically correct, or they're showing certain lifestyles that we know that God isn't pleased with, but they're putting it out there for people to digest. But what we have to do is pray and cover them in love and pray that that spirit doesn't jump on us and that spirit of acceptance doesn't creep into us. And so that's really what I think the enemy's trying to do, is just trying to get us to a place where we just accept everything and say, you know, oh, this is okay, or, well, we can't judge them. You know, we can't, but at the same time, that doesn't mean that we need to jump into the fray and do what everyone else does. So I know that was a long answer, but, you know.
It's real talk, though.
All right, yeah. Now, real quick, a couple of things before we go. We are running short on time. I would like to cover, you did say worship. Did you say worship bully was the statement?
You said worship bully?
Yeah.
yeah, that's the phrase that I coined.
I like it.
Worship bully. A lot of praise and worship leaders are worship bullies.
Wow. I would love to get more into that. Well, we definitely going to discuss that at a later time. One thing, how can people get in touch with you? And, like, before, I would like to get that information before we go into your song, because we won't be able to come back to you after that. So how can we catch up with you on Twitter, Facebook? What are the social media sites that our listeners can catch up with you on?
Well, I have a website, www.therealjshep.com. I'm on Twitter at therealjshep.com, Facebook at therealjshep.com. You can find me on iTunes. You know, I'm pretty accessible. You know, when people tweet me, I tweet them back. You know, I'm not the type of person that doesn't respond to people. So I really love people's feedback on me, on my music. I've got a free download of my new single, Let's Go, on my website, therealjshep.com. We got a video coming in about 2 weeks. I'm going to release the video. So I'm just eager to get out and meet people and be able to minister and perform in various areas. So, you know, what, you are on the East Coast, right? Where are you all located?
Yes.
East Coast.
Where at?
We're on the East Coast.
What city?
I'm in the Norfolk area. I'm in Portsmouth.
And I'm down
okay.
in Florida.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we got to make our way out there too, man. So let me know when you guys are doing something. We're going to try to, you know, make it out there. So, yeah, so everything is The Real J Shep. Twitter at The Real J Shep, TheRealJShep.com, Facebook, The Real J Shep. And you can, you know, hook up with me on there.
All right. That's we fine. Definitely appreciate you calling in and giving us your time on your birthday. You definitely
yes,
enjoy your birthday. Okay?
Yes, sir.
And ladies
appreciate
and
it.
This is The Real J Shep here on the Covenant Cafe. We're going to go into the song, and then we're going to close out. Enjoy your birthday.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right, bro.
All right. God bless.
All right.
Want to see a song?
All right. Let's Go by J Shep here on the Covenant Cafe.
If you're ready to fulfill all of your dreams, and you're ready to live out your destiny and your purpose, you're tired of stuff weighing you down, this song's for you. Let's go, let's go.
I'm on the verge of a breakthrough.
I'm on the brink.
I'm on the brink of my greatest days.
Saw
a glimpse of my future.
And oh,
I was so amazed.
Ain't nothing gonna stop me.
Ain't nothing gonna stop me. Ain't nothing gonna bring me down.
'Cause I want everything.
I want everything he promised.
Now put your
destiny. Get your destiny. Get your destiny. Get your destiny. Everybody, everybody, let's go.
There you have it, Jay Chef.
Dope track.
Yeah. I hated to rush him off, man.
Yeah.
I would love to talk to the brother more, but I know there's a couple things that going on. He had his birthday party going on.
Yeah.
I would have loved to talk to the brother more, man. He seems like he has everything going in the right direction.
And he can cook chicken. Like, that's...
He cook chicken. Wow.
Man, I got to catch that brother, man.
You know what? I barely can make toast right. This dude can cook chicken.
Yeah.
All right, before we, I know we have about three minutes left, ladies and gentlemen, so what we're going to do is get into our advice for the week. I'm sorry we didn't get into a lot of the good stuff that we normally get into.
Yeah.
We had a rocking good time. I'll tell you what, man, today we should have did 3 hours for you because...
what are you telling?
We had to do a lot of catching up. It's all good. Yeah. Like next week. But anyway, before we even talk about that, let's get into the advice for the week. What are the words that we need to live by this week?
Okay, so I can't go in deep as I intended to go, but Lord's will shall be done. It comes from Ephesians 6:10-11, and it reads, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." No, I didn't say take off the armor. Didn't. So during this week, you know, we're going to stand strong in God. We're going to keep on the armor. That's our prayer, our fasting, our pulling close to him, our being still, our being patient, our operating in love and understanding. Remember the commandments of God. That's how we know that. That's how people know we are Christian, when we follow the works of Christ. In short, let's be more like Jesus. Let's pull closer to him and love one another and stay strong and fight temptation, the wiles of the devil. Just trying to do it real quick. Let's be strong in God. And pull closer.
Wow. Be strong in God. You know, that says a lot, because if you look at it like this in a real simple manner, be strong in God. I mean, anything that comes your way, you have to have faith. You have to have faith.
Amen.
It's easier said than done, but, hey, ladies and gentlemen, you got to make it happen, okay?
Amen.
Thank you guys for listening to us this week. We'll be back next week. Hopefully we have some more interviews. And, of course, you know, we're going to have the current events and the weird news and poetry and all that good stuff next week here at the Covenant Cafe. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Lamont Ferguson and
Poetic Lace.
And enjoy your week. Be back.
This is the outro, so long farewell. This ain't goodbye forever, but only time will tell. We had some funny moments, real talking interviews. Every Sunday, 7:30 Eastern time we do this. Build you up, encourage you. This is the D-Hour Show, feel free to come on through. Lamont Ferguson, Poetic Lacey's are the host. From the east to the west, we rock at coast to coast. The Covenant Cafe, yeah, that is the name. We reppin' Jesus Christ. Yeah, we're unashamed. He died so we can live. So I'm steady boasting. I think that calls for tears. So I'm steady toasting. What's up, D Slade? That's the CEO. He's tapping on the glass. I guess it's time to go. So let me close with these words so I can keep it meek. Thanks for stopping by. Hope to see you next week.
Oh.